Doubles and triples, practice test number two. Question number one. Before you can supply air to the air tanks of a second trailer, you need to open the shutoff valves at the rear of the first trailer and close the shutoff valves at the rear of the second trailer. Close the shutoff valves at the rear of both trailers. Open the shutoff valves at the rear of both trailers. Or none of the above. The answer is A, open the shutoff valves at the rear of the first trailer and close the shutoff valves at the rear of the second trailer. 6.2.7, under shutoff valves, these valves permit closing the air lines off when another trailer is not being towed. You must check that all shutoff valves are in the open position except the ones at the back of the last trailer, which must be closed. That's why A is correct. Question number two. Driving a truck with double or triple trailers requires a driver to use special care in bad weather and mountain conditions, allow more following distance than for smaller vehicles, both A and B, or none of the above. The answer is C, both A and B, in 7.1.5 managed space, as well as 7.1.6 adverse conditions. Allow more following distance, as well as be more careful in adverse conditions. In bad weather, slippery conditions, and mountain driving, you must be especially careful if you drive double and triple bottoms. Question number three. Empty trucks may have poor traction due to bouncing and wheel lockup. Stop in the same distance as a fully loaded one. Require shorter stopping distances than full ones. Or are the easiest to stop since there is no shifting cargo? The answer is A, may have poor traction due to bouncing and wheel lockup. In 6.1.3, brake early, large combination vehicles take longer to stop when they're empty than when they are fully loaded. Also, when lightly loaded, the very stiff suspension springs and strong brakes give poor traction and make it very easy to lock up the wheels. Lock up the wheels was mentioned. The bouncing tires was not mentioned, but it is definitely a factor, and that's why A is correct. Question number four. How can you be sure you have supplied air to a second trailer? Go to the rear of the second trailer and open the emergency line shutoff. Watch each trailer's air gauged for a drop of 30 PSI. Apply the hand valve at 10 miles per hour. You should stop in the same distance as a truck with one trailer at 5 miles per hour. Or get out and listen for air flowing through the lines. The answer is A, go to the rear of the second trailer and open the emergency line shutoff. 6.2.7 shutoff valves, as well as in section 7.3 inspecting doubles and triples. Shutoff valves at rear of trailers in service and emergency lines, you must check. The rear of the front trailers must be open to allow air through from one trailer to the next. Also, the rear of last trailer must be closed. So if you go to the rear of the second trailer and open the emergency line shutoff, you'll hear air releasing. And that way, you'll know that air is being supplied to the second trailer or the third trailer if we're dealing with triples. Question number five. If a converter dolly is still under the second trailer and you unlock the pintle hook, what will probably happen? The dolly tow bar may fly up, the air lines will rupture, the trailer brakes will unlock, or nothing, the weight of the trailer will keep it in place. Answer is A, the dolly tow bar may fly up. In 7.2.2, uncoupling twin trailers, never unlock the pintle hook with the dolly still under the rear trailer. The dolly tow bar may fly up, possibly causing injury and making it very difficult to recouple. Question number six. If you must drive through deep puddles or flowing water, which of these should you not do? Drive through quickly, use a lower gear, increase engine RPMs, or take advantage of the water and let it wash off your tires, etc. The answer is A, drive through quickly. So in 2.13.2 and driving under the section on wet brakes, avoid driving through deep puddles or flowing water if possible, but if you have no choice, slow down and place the transmission in a low gear, which is why A, drive through quickly, is a thing you should not do. It doesn't mention D, which is take advantage of the water and let it wash off your tires, etc. I don't think that's a good answer, but the main thing you should not do is drive through quickly. Question number 7. If you want to couple a second trailer to your combination vehicle, secure it by using the trailer's spring brakes and emergency air brakes, wheel chocks, either of the above if available, or none of the above. The answer is C, either of the above if available. 6.2.8, trailer, service, parking, and emergency brakes. So in newer vehicles, trailers or converter dollies have spring brakes. If it was older vehicles, they had emergency air brakes instead, if they did not have spring brakes. So that's why A is one of the things. A is one of the correct answers because it says the trailer has spring brakes and emergency air brakes. But if in the case of older vehicles that used emergency brakes, that would only be good for so long. Eventually, the air will leak away, and then there will be no brakes. Therefore, it was very important for safety that you use wheel chocks when you park trailers without spring brakes. So you're either going to have the trailer's spring brakes or emergency brakes or wheel chocks. Any of those would be acceptable. Question number 8. Some large trucks have convex or spot mirrors, which make things look smaller and farther away than they really are. Do not need to be checked as often as flat mirrors because they show a larger area, are against the law in most states, or make things look larger and closer than they really are. The answer is A, make things look smaller and farther away than they really are. 2.4.2 talks about many large vehicles have curved or convex fisheye spot bug-eye mirrors that show a wider area than flat mirrors. This is often helpful, but everything appears smaller in a convex mirror than it would if you were looking at it directly, which is important to remember. Things also seem farther away than they really are. Question 9. The best way to keep brakes from overheating while going down a steep grade is to use stab braking, use only the trailer brakes, use counter-steering practices, or go 5 miles per hour below your safe speed. The answer is D, go 5 miles per hour below your safe speed. In 2.16.4, proper braking technique, apply the brakes just hard enough to feel a definite slowdown. Then when your speed has been reduced to approximately 5 miles per hour below your safe speed, release the brakes. Then when your speed has increased to your safe speed again, repeat step 1 and 2. Number 10, the best way to stop all skids is to use stab or controlled braking, counter steer and accelerate, restore traction to the tires, or steer and brake hard. The answer is C, restore traction to the tires. In 8.3.5 in skids, when any vehicle starts a skid, you must take action to restore traction to the wheels. Number 11, the crack the whip effect that troubles trucks with trailers. Which is most likely to tip over? The rear trailer of a double, a full trailer behind a truck, the rear trailer of a triple, or any trailer? The answer is C, the rear trailer of a triple. In 7.1.2, beware of the crack the whip effect. And 6.1.2, steer gently. Trucks with trailers have a dangerous crack the whip effect. When you make a quick lane change, the crack the whip effect can turn the trailer over. There are many accidents where only the trailer has overturned. It's rearward amplification that causes the crack the whip effect. And you can see in this chart how triples have a rearward amplification of 3.5. It means you can roll the last trailer of a triple's 3.5 times as easily as a 5-axle trailer or a standard combination vehicle with one trailer. Question number 12. When does the driver's manual advise disconnecting the steering axle brakes to help keep the rig straight? When the road is dry, anytime you have to, when the road is slippery, or never? The answer is D, never. And this is a question about an outdated practice on older trucks, but it can still come up on the tests. In section 5.1.13, front brake limiting valve, limiting valves were used to reduce the chance of the front wheels skidding on slippery surfaces. However, they actually reduced the stopping power of the vehicle. It further states, front wheel braking is good under all conditions. So it was an outdated practice that was proved to not be effective, but it is good to know, and it may be asked. Question number 13. When should you check your mirrors while making a lane change? After signaling the change, before starting the lane change, right after starting the lane change, after completing the lane change, or all of the above? The answer is D, all of the above. In 2.4.2, seeing to the sides and rear under lane changes, you need to check your mirrors to make sure that no one is alongside you or about to pass you. Check your mirrors before you change lanes to make sure there's enough room, after you signal to check that no one has moved into your blind spot, right after you start the lane change to double check that your path is clear, and after you complete the lane change, which is why all of these things are true and is all of the above. Question 14. Which of these is not a good thing to do when driving on slippery roads? Use the engine brake or speed retarder. Use a light touch on the accelerator and brake pedals. Keep other traffic out of your side space, or none of the above. The answer is A, use the engine brake or speed retarder is not a good thing to do while driving on slippery roads. 2.3.4, retarders. Caution, when your drive wheels have poor traction, the retarder may cause them to skid. Therefore, you should turn the retarder off whenever the road is wet, icy, or snow covered. Question 15. Which of these statements about handling of doubles and triples is true? The rear trailer of a 100-foot triple is less likely to turn over than a single semi-trailer due to the crack-the-whip effect. Or, a triple bottom rig can stop quicker than a 5-axle tractor semi-trailer due to off-tracking. A sudden movement with the steering wheel can result in a tipped-over rear trailer, or none of the above. About handling of doubles and triples is true. It's C. A sudden movement with the steering wheel can result in a tipped over rear trailer.
In section 6.1.2, steer gently. It says steer gently and smoothly when you're pulling trailers. If you make a sudden movement with your steering wheel, your trailer could tip over.
The key here is that the rear trailer is twice as likely to turn over as the tractor, and even worse on triples. Question 16. Which of these statements about managing spaces to the sides is true? Always keep your vehicle to the right side of your lane. You should avoid traveling next to others when possible. High winds are not a problem for doubles and triples. And all of the above. The answer is B. You should avoid traveling next to others when possible. 2.7.3. Space to the sides and traveling next to others. There are two dangers in traveling alongside other vehicles. And the key here is find an open spot where you aren't near other traffic, much less likely to get into an accident. Question 17. Which of these statements about quick steering movements and doubles triples is true? Counter steering is easier with doubles and triples than with most other vehicles. You should put on the brakes at the same time you perform quick steering movements. Doubles and triples are no problem with a quick steering move, or doubles and triples flip over from quick steering moves more easily than many other vehicles. Which is correct, the D, doubles and triples are flip over from quick steering moves more easily than many other vehicles. 6.1.2, steer gently. The same section talks about you can see the triples have a rearward amplification of 3.5. This means you can roll the last trailer of triples 3.5 times as easily as a 5-axle trailer, as seen in this chart. A regular trailer, a standard 5-axle tractor semi-trailer here, has a rearward amplification factor of 1, and the triples trailer is an amplification factor of 3.5. So this is 3.5 times more likely to tip over than this vehicle. Question 18. Which of these statements about seeing ahead is true? At highway speed, you should look up to a quarter mile ahead of your truck. Many drivers do not look far enough ahead of their truck. Good drivers shift their attention back and forth, near and far, and all of the above are true. It's D, all of the above are true. In 2.4.1, in seen ahead, all drivers look ahead, but many don't look far enough ahead. How far ahead to look? Most good drivers look at least 12 to 15 seconds ahead. At highway speeds, it's about a quarter of a mile, which is A. Good drivers shift their attention back and forth, near and far, which was C. And the many don't look far enough ahead was the B. So all of the above were correct. Question 19. Which of these will result in the best control on curves? There is really no need to slow down for a curve. Downshift after you enter the curve. Braking during the turn. Or slowing to a safe speed before entering the curve, then accelerate slightly during the curve. The correct answer is D. Slowing to a safe speed before entering the curve, then accelerate slightly during the curve. The first part in 7.1.1 prevents trailer from rolling over. The main part is in section 2.3.1 in manual transmissions, talking about before entering curve. Slow down to a safe speed and downshift to the right gear before entering the curve. This lets you use some power through the curve to help the vehicle be more stable while turning, which is especially important when pulling multiple trailers. Question 20. You are doing a walk-around inspection of a double or triple trailer rig. You should be sure the converter dolly, air tank, drain valves are blank and the pinel hook is blank. Open and latched, open and free, closed and latched, or closed and free. The answer is C, closed and latched. That'd be closed for the air tank drain valves and latched for the pinel hook. In 7.2.1, coupling twin trailers, make sure that the converter dolly air tank drain valve is closed and that the pinel hook is latched. That's why C is correct. Question 21. You are driving a 100-foot truck with double trailers at 30 miles per hour. The road is dry. Visibility is good. You should keep at least how many seconds of space ahead of you? 9, 10, 11, or 12? The correct answer is B, 10. In 6.1.2, follow far enough behind other vehicles at least 1 second for each 10 feet of your vehicle length plus another second if going over 40 miles per hour. So in this case, you had a 100-foot truck, which is 1 second per 10 feet, which is 10 seconds. And since we're not going over 40 miles per hour, you don't add another second. So it's only 10 seconds space ahead of you. Question 22. You are driving a set of doubles. A set of trailer wheels goes into a skid. Which of these is most likely to occur? The rig will continue to move in a straight line no matter how much the steering wheel is turned. You will have a trailer jackknife. The rig will stay in a straight line but slide sideways, or none of the above. The answer is B. You will have a trailer jackknife. Most likely. 6.1.5. Prevent trailer skids. When the wheels of a trailer lock up, the trailer will tend to swing around. This is more likely to happen when the trailer is empty or lightly loaded. This type of jackknife is often called a trailer jackknife. Here's a visual of the trailer wheels that are locked up, and this is even more likely to happen when it's a set of doubles, which this is not showing. But the same thing happens. The trailer wheels lock up, and they tend to come around. And as you can imagine, if you were to brake, this would cause it to happen even worse because this would slow down, but this trailer wheels would keep coming even faster, which would be a more violent jackknife than if you get off the brakes and let it roll and until you get the vehicle back under control. Question number 23. You are visually checking the coupling of a converter dolly to the rear trailer. How much space should be between the upper and lower fifth wheel? It depends on the load. None. A half inch to quarter of an inch, or 1/32 to 3/32 of an inch. How much space should be between the upper and lower fifth wheel? The answer is B, none. In 7.3.1, additional checks, coupling system areas, no visible space between upper and lower fifth wheel. Question 24. You should check the height of the trailer before connecting a converter dolly to a second or third trailer. The trailer height is right when the trailer will be raised slightly when the converter dolly is backed under it. The kingpin rests on the fifth wheel. The center of the kingpin lines up with the locking jaws, or all of the above. Answer is A. The trailer will be raised slightly when the converter dolly is backed under it. In 7.2.1, coupling twin trailers. Making sure trailer height is correct, it must be slightly lower than the center of the fifth wheel, so trailer is raised slightly when dolly is pushed under. Question 25. You want to hook your combination to a second trailer that has no spring brakes. To do this, without wheel chocks, you should make sure the trailer will roll freely when coupling. Hook the trailer electric cord to a portable generator for braking power. Supply air to the trailer air system with the tractor and then disconnect the emergency line. Or couple the trailer to the tractor. Everything is okay. It's C. Supply air to the trailer air system with the tractor and then disconnect the emergency line. In 7.2.1, coupling twin trailers, secure second rear trailer. If the second trailer doesn't have spring brakes, drive the tractor close to the trailer, connect the emergency line, charge the trailer air tank, and disconnect the emergency line. This will set the trailer emergency brakes. That's why C is correct.